Thursday the 3rd of January, Kof Hei Teves, Rav Binyamin Hill, Kirch Nefesh in Halacha.
Just a word of introduction. First of all, a great honour to be here. This is now a very famous programme, and I hope in its various places it goes my time as well. I'm speaking in Halacha. Here's a health warning, anything I say should not be taken as a psak Halacha. It's for discussion, it's for research, it's for interest, which should not be taken in any way as a psak halacha. Now, everybody knows that pikuach nefesh, emergency, life-threatening situations, push aside the mitzvahs of the Torah. Yes, it's common knowledge that if there's an emergency on Shabbos, or if a person were imagined to be stuck on a desert island, and there were no food other than non-kosher food, one would be allowed. What is the rationale which justifies such behavior? If you take things at face value, the Torah says this is what you should do. The Torah doesn't say this is what you should do unless it's inconvenient. This is what you should do. Therefore, without a rationale which justifies setting aside the mitzvahs of the Torah for pikuach nefesh, however defined, one would have imagined that one would have to continue, even at the risk of life, even at the risk of death. Health, death, they shouldn't stand in the way of performance of the mitzvahs, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, has told us to do this, or not to do that. The same, by the way, should go for Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. The Minchas Chinuch, in his discussion of the subject of Kiddush Hashem, says that for Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, there is no automatic assumption that Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach be set aside in case of emergency. If the Torah says don't steal, and that is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and it's a capital offense, that means you get Yechayev Misa, then if it's inconvenient not to steal, too bad. You may have to give up your life for not stealing, in the case of onus or something like that. So the Gemara in Yuma, which you have in Source 1, discusses the rationale for pikuach nefesh, and a number of offerings are put forward there. I'm only interested in two. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says, V'shomru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that the Jewish people should observe Shabbos. Over Shimon ben Manasseh, Omra Torah Chalel Olav Shabbos, Achas, Kedei Sheyishmer Shabbosos Harbe. Break one Shabbos so that you should keep many. Again, the Torah says keep Shabbos. Therefore, keeping Shabbos is the most important thing to do. What if you have to break a Shabbos, but there's an expectation that you will keep many down the line? Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmer Shabbos Es Harbe. That is one rationale which is offered for breaking. This is not only Shabbos. Shabbos is a dogma. It would apply to other things as well. Break one law of Kashrus so that for the next 119 years you'll be able to observe the laws of Kashrus. Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. The Omer Shmuel becomes the normative position in Halacha for reasons which go beyond our time this morning. The Torah says V'chai Bohem. V'chai Bohem concludes the Gemara is a more powerful statement of Halacha than V'shomru V'nei Yisrael Es HaShabbos. V'chai Bohem V'lo Sheyomos Bohem. The Torah is meant to be a guide for life. It's not meant to be poison. If taking the Torah would be like poison, what would be the point of taking the Torah? You die. V'chai bohem de lo sheyomos bohem. Since the Torah says that life, apparently, is more important than anything else, that must include in more important than the mitzvahs of the Torah. Therefore, v'chai bohem is a more powerful statement in Halacha, concludes the Gemara in Yuma, than v'shomru v'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos. Now, one of the rationales offered by the Gemara in our sugya is that in the case of v'chai bohem, that would include sofik. If there's a sofik in pikuach nefesh, as in the Gemara's famous discussion in Yuma, which precedes this sugya by a couple of pages, The Gemara discusses a fallen building. And there's 100 people, let's say, trapped inside the building. And you've no idea what the situation is about each one of the 100 people. The assumption could be that many of them are dead. Would you be allowed to break Shabbos or Yom Tov to break into the building going against Lamates Malachas in order to get through? The answer is yes. Most of them are dead. For example, you found 90 out of the 100 whom you know inside are dead and already dead. Why should you be allowed to break Shabbos for the 91st time? Answer B'chai Bohem. Even in a case of Rove, even where Rove goes against you. Now, we know that Rove is a very important overriding principle in Halacha. If there are 9 people in the room and somebody walks in and claims to be Jewish, we don't inspect him. Because the Rove people who walk in and say, they're Jewish. So we go Bosser Rove. So here we don't go Bosser Rove. Even though 90 people are already dead, the 91st, we will check to see if he's alive or not. Even the 99th. Even the 999th. Why? Because v'pikuach nefesh ein holchim bosser rov. Now the Gemara's conclusion that v'chai bohem will allow you to break Shabbos or any other mitzvah of the Torah, even in the face of rov, is not justified in the case of the Shomru v'nei Yisrael for Shabbos. The Shomru v'nei Yisrael for Shabbos is still governed by rov. Halel Shabbos achas means you break Shabbos if you know there's going to be other Shabbosas down the road. What if you don't know? What if you think there may be? That may or may not justify breaking Shabbos, v'shomru v'nei Yisrael for Shabbos. So for this and other reasons, the Gemara in Yuma concludes that Halel Shabbos Achas, Kadei Sheyishmeru Shabbosas Harba, is a powerful case, but not as powerful as V'chai Bohem. My point is this. If V'chai Bohem has become the normative position in Halacha, justifying Pikuach Nefesh, justifying any action that we do which violates the Torah in pursuit of Pikuach Nefesh, in pursuit of the greater good of life, then what happened to Halel Shabbos Achas? Is it a rejected position in Halacha, or has it just been sidelined for today's purposes? My point to you this morning, Rabbi Sai, is that V'shomru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbos Halel Shabbos Achas remains a valid position in Halacha, on this occasion outweighed by V'chai Bohem. But it remains in Halacha. How do I know this? I know this from a number of places. Primarily, the Rif quotes this statement of Shimon ben Manasseh, and as you probably know, the Rif only quotes statements which are Halacha. He doesn't quote Agadata, and he doesn't quote rejected positions in Halacha. So the Rif is a proof that Rav Shimon ben Manasseh's klal, Halel Shabbos Achas, Kadei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Es Harbe, is a valid position in Halacha. Secondly, the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, you have it in item 2, quotes Rav Shimon ben Manasseh's klal, quotes the klal of Rav Shimon ben Manasseh on a very famous position, which is well known, which is that the Chachamim have the right to abrogate laws of the Torah when it's necessary. Have a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. V'chein, it's in line 4. V'chein imro lefisho levatel mitzvahs achas, o lava al mitzvahs asei, o lava al mitzvahs los asei, kedei lahachsir rabim ledat, o lahachsir rabam Yisrael min hikoshel bidvorim acherim, Osim lefima shehashor tzericho. You're allowed to set aside the laws of the Torah when it's necessary in the eyes of those people who are authorized to do that, which means the Chachamim. Here comes the Rambam with a very imaginative moshul. Keshem shaharofe, just like the doctor, choteich yodo o raglo. He amputates a limb of, unfortunately, a patient, so that the patient should survive. Similarly, the Beis Din or the Chachamim would be allowed to paskin a halacha. Lavo al mitzas mitzvos lefisha, to set aside mitzvos. Eis lasis Hashem heferu Torah secho. The Radvaz, in his commentary, which you have to the right, offers a number of famous cases about this, including a couple which are misprinted in the Radvaz. He claims that in the famous case of where a man took his wife, and was intimate with his wife in public, underneath the tree, yes, Ukhadoma, yes, he was, according to the Ravav, killed, because it was an impossible embarrassment to do such a thing. Now, it's not true. The Gemara says he wasn't killed. He was beaten up. He got makas. Okay, so the Meforshim on the side claim that the copy typist had misunderstood. But the principle remains the same. What is there he done? He was with his wife. Only it was immodest. It was an embarrassment. It wasn't appropriate. It wasn't the Pichonish of Yisrael. Not exactly called Fudavas Melech Benimo. So what's going on here? But they said they had to make an example of this guy. Similarly, the Ravaz quote, the person who rode his horse on Shabbos. Riding a horse on Shabbos is an infraction of Gezeiras HaChazal. They killed him. Rav Shimon ben Shetach put to death 80 witches in one day. This is all the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. So Ravaz says, you see that in all these cases, what they did was to make an example of the so-called criminals. You have to make an example of these people and show that the Torah's laws are not to be set aside. We're not here where this is not kind of leisure activity. This is important life-giving activity. Therefore, when people are criminals, they have to be punished appropriately and in some cases very, very strongly. There was no court case, there was no edim, there was no psak halacha. They just attacked them. They killed them. They punished them. Why? Because he was Eish La'asis Hashem. So the Ravaz says this is an example of where you cut off a limb in order to protect the body. The Rambam's point is that in Hilchos Mamrim, he's quoting this position of Chazal, and look what the reason he's giving. Kishem Sheharofi, etc. Ken Moim Bizman in Azman La'aba al Mitzvot Lefi Shah Kedei Sheyizkai Mekulam Kederek Sheomru Chachomim Arishonim. Just like the Chachomim Rishonim said, Chalel Olav Shabbos Akas, break one Shabbos Kedei Sheyishmo Shabbos Es Harba. Why did the Rambam quote this statement? Because this is the justifying statement in Chazal. This is not a case of Pikuach Nefesh. This is not V'chai Bohem. This is Chalel Shabbos Akas Kadesh Yishmaru Shabbos is Arba. Set aside one thing in order to protect the greater good. In English we would say the means justify the end. What is the end? The protection of Torah. What is the means? It's improper. The means are improper. We're breaking Shabbos. We are setting aside the law of the Torah. We're putting the witches to death in great number without an appropriate court case. There's no Dine Sanhedrin here. But why is it allowed? Cutting off the limb of the body in order to protect the larger body. I ask you, what's the difference between the two rationales of V'chai Bohem and Chalel Shabbos Achas? What's the difference in Svara? Why are they so differently understood? And why is one more powerful than the other, and yet the other hasn't been rejected? On the back of your sheet, you'll find an offering here, which I'll just summarise now. We don't have time to go into it in detail, because I want to tell you the more interesting cases. But on the back of the sheet, which you can look at your leisure, you'll see that the difference in focus is a very important difference. The V'chai Bohem says life is infinite. There is no greater infinity than life itself. If in order to protect the infinity of life, you have to set aside a mitzvah, or even many mitzvahs, or even the same mitzvah many times, you'll be justified in doing that because of the potential infinity of life. That would apply even in Chayeshah. That would apply even if the infinity of life was known to be temporary. Because even if life itself is of infinite value, then a minute of life is also of infinity. Because you can't divide infinity. A minute of life is infinite value. That's why, says Meiri, on the Sugya in Yuma, even if you were to know that the person will not survive till next Shabbos, you'll break one Shabbos, and you'll know that by next Thursday, he'll unfortunately be nifta. Would you be allowed to break Shabbos? Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Es Harba. It sounds as though you wouldn't be able to. Only V'chai Bohem, Pikuach Nefesh says, of course you would. Okay? So the Meiri says, what's the difference in Svara? Because Pikuach Nefesh, the infinity of life, means that a moment's life is of value. The Meiri adds a breathtaking statement. beautiful, breathtaking statement. I can't get it out of my head every time I think about it. And the Eerie says, what if the person is deeply, deeply sick? He's almost unconscious. He's in a coma. And you're going to break Shabbos for him, and there's no way he's going to survive till next Shabbos. It could be, says the Meiri, that between now and the time he is Nifter, he'll have a moment's proper consciousness. He'll be able to do tshuva over his previous life. The previous 100 years of his life, he'll be able to do tshuva. When you do tshuva, all your previous Chilul Shabbos become Shmirah Shabbos. So the Meiri says, even according to the principle of Shimon ben Manasseh, Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmeru Shabbos Es Harva, by doing tshuva, his previous Chilul Shabbos becomes Shmir Shabbos. That's what tshuva is all about. The slate is wiped clean. You've done tshuva, as it were. You've now been a Shomer Shabbos. You haven't got the din now. You're not being paskened as a Mechalel Shabbos. You've been paskened as a Shomer Shabbos. So even according to Shimon ben Manasseh, suggests Meiri that by being able to do tshuva, having a moment's proper consciousness, you'll be able to do tshuva on your previous Shabboses. Now, this Meiri is a famous Meiri. It's brought by the Bir Halacha in Shin Kaf Tes. Bir Halacha says, what about somebody who's in a coma? He's never going to wake up. He's never going to have a moment's consciousness. So the Bir Halacha says, look, we don't make an afkamina. We don't say, this one you can break Shabbos for, this one you can't break Shabbos for, this one's in a coma, this one's not in a coma. Go ahead, you break Shabbos for everybody. Why? V'chai bohem. Because v'chai bohem is a justification for doing anything, because the infinite power of human life. The stuff on the back that I directed your attention to makes the following suggestion. V'chai bohem, the focus is on life. Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadesh Shiyushmeru Shabbosas Harveh, the focus is on mitzvahs. What's the overriding purpose of Chalel Shabbos Achas? It's a life full of mitzvahs. What's the overriding purpose of V'chai Bohem? Life. The mitzvahs are less important than life.
So where do you need that for?
Sorry?
Where do you need that for? V'chai Bohem always translates.
You're going to see. Okay, that's the purpose of this morning. You will see in a moment, I'm going to give you half a dozen cases of where the statement of Rishon HaBenasya is operative, even though you don't need V'chai. We've already seen in Hilchos Mamrim the justification for the Rambam for breaking the law wasn't V'chai Bohem. It was Shalel Shabbos Achas. Yes? Like the doctor amputates the limb to save the patient. Yes? There's no saving of life. The amputation of the limb may not be a life-giving measure. Maybe a health-giving measure.
Why is it brought in Yuma in terms of saving life, if really V'chai Bohem is much possible?
Because it's a suggestion. But the Gemara trumps it, as you say. V'chai Bohem trumps Rishon ben Manasseh, but Rishon ben Manasseh remains on the agenda as a valid position in Halacha when Pikuach Nefesh is not the operative principle. And that's what I want to show you today. I've listed half a dozen cases for you. Items 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you can add 8, which the photocopying paper missed. Okay, by the way, there's a misprint in 5. The Gemara in Nedarim is not Sadi Aleph, it's not 91, it's 31. Okay, it's Lamed Aleph. The Ran in Yuma on our sugya. Are you allowed to break Shabbos for the life of the unborn child? V'chai Bohem says that you need a nefesh. Pikuach nefesh. The unborn child is not a nefesh. The unborn child, for example, compared to the mother, is not a nefesh. That's why, says Rashi, you're allowed to do an abortion in the later stages of pregnancy, even though it'll cost, the quotation marks, life of the unborn child, because lav nefesh gomuhu. Rashi's position is that the unborn child is not a nefesh. So why are you allowed to break Shabbos? Forget the abortion now. Why are you allowed to break Shabbos or any other law of the Torah for the sake of the unborn child? It's not a nefesh. V'chai Bohem wouldn't give it you. Says the Ran, Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmeru Shabbos Es Harbe. Sorry? Possibly not. Discussion in the Akronim. So maybe for a Sophic you wouldn't, but for sure you'd be allowed to break Shabbos or any other law of the Torah to save the life of the unborn child. The baby's in distress. You can be Mechalel Shabbos or other mitzvahs of the Torah, because V'chai Bohem won't give it to you, but Chalel Shabbos Achas will give it to you. You're getting my drift. Here we've got a position of Shimon ben Benassia, which is being sustained in halacha, even though we do not have the trump card, we do not have the reinforcements of the Chai Bohem to allow you to do it, because it's not a nefesh. Consider item 4. Tosfos in Bava Metzia. Eliyahu brought back to life a child. How is he allowed to do it? How is he allowed to have contact with the life? He's not a Kohen. A Kohen can't have any contact with the dead. Once the Kohen comes in the room, he's already broken the Torah. How is Eliyahu allowed to do it? It's not a case of Pikuach Nefesh, even though you think it is a case of Pikuach Nefesh, because Pikuach Nefesh assumes that the child is alive. Eliyahu is allowed to bring back the child to life and contaminate him, be metame himself in the process. Why? Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmeru Shabbos Har. But you see how the principle of Pikuach Nefesh is non-operative? Nevertheless, the principle of Shimon ben Benassia comes into play and allows you in a utilitarian way. That's all it is. Chalel Shabbos Achas is a utilitarian principle. What did I say to you at the beginning? The end justifies the means. We need to get this child back to life. It's not currently alive. Is the Kohen allowed to set aside his kahuna in pursuit of that? For sure. Would V'chai Bohem allow him to? No. But Chalel Shabbos Achas will allow him to. Moshe Rabbeinu in Nedarim. Okay? The Gemara in Nedarim in Lamed Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu was arguably punished for delaying the bris milah of his second child on the way back to Mitzrayim after he'd been in Golus for all those years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quotation marks, punished him or attempted to punish him either because, or Tzipora took a different view, because he had delayed the bris of the child. Moshe Rabbeinu's argument was very simple. I've got the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu staring me in the face. Go back to Mitzrayim. If I mal my son, I'll have to wait for a few days. Because on the third day, or up to the third day, the child is in pain. The child is pesachana. You can't take a newborn baby with a bris milah on a dangerous journey. It's not good. It's very unhealthy. I'll threaten the child's life. Therefore, I might argue, if I do argue, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that the sakana of the child is going to stand in the way. So the whole is discussed in the Gemara there, and the Malach came and attacked him, and the justification Moshe Rabbeinu offered, and Tzipora intervened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu backwards and forwards. At the end of the day, the justification offered by Moshe Rabbeinu on this occasion was tantamount to saying, Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmeru Shabbos Harbe. The Shulchan Aruch in Shin Bov, in Orachayim, puts forward a very tragic and difficult case. We're not saving somebody's life now, we're saving somebody's spiritual life. Would you be allowed to save your daughter? The case is the daughter, but it could be anybody. Would you be allowed to save your daughter who is going to be dragged off for Chas V'Shalom Shmad? In other words, breaking Shabbos, would you be allowed to break Shabbos? To travel by train or whatever to rescue your daughter who is going to be, God forbid, converted. Now what's going to happen when she's going to be converted? She's going to be in a life without mitzvahs. Is it pikuach nefesh? No. It's Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmeru Shabbos Harba. The Mogen Avraham brings it's Shinvav over here, the justification for going out to rescue somebody whose spiritual life is in danger is the equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh, but it's not Pikuach Nefesh. It's Chalel Shabbos Achas, it's a utilitarian justification. By the way, not everybody agrees. This is not something that you can pass in by yourself. You hear that somebody's involved with a cult, or somebody's involved with missionaries, or something dreadful like that. You can't automatically assume that the norms of the Torah can be set aside glibly. It's not so clear, it's not so posh. This position of Shin Vav is debated by the Achronim, but the point at issue, the point I'm making for you is that the reason which justifies, were it to be justified, let's say it is, were it to be justified is Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmeru Shabbos Harva. In other words, the end justifies the means. You're allowed in this case to save the person who's going to be dragged off for Shmad, because you're going to enable them to get back into a life of Torah mitzvahs. Rabbi Tatz's point will come back onto the agenda now. What if you're not sure? Okay, so the question of Sophic will come back onto the agenda. We'll have to think about that.
And Kilim and Shabbos and radio.
Sorry?
Kilim and Shabbos and radio.
And the radio?
Yes, given a Kilim and the Makarim Benson.
Well, that would be a big Sophic. That would be a big Sophic. Why have you got to do it on Shabbos? You can do it on a weekday. The Beis Yitzchak. The Beis Yitzchak in Eben Ha'ezer. Item 7. A child is going to be taken into an institution. The child is deeply handicapped. There are two types of institutions. There's an institution that will look after the child, and there's an institution that can cure the child. Both of them are non-Jewish. Both of them will involve breaking Shabbos and Yom Tov and Kashrus and all other norms of the Torah, because it's unfortunately a non-Jewish institution. Yes, the Beis Yitzchak is dealing in a case where we didn't have, unfortunately, Jewish institutions. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have a world full of chesed, and we have a world full of Jewish institutions which look after children who've got various special needs. But we're talking here where there was no special needs institutions available locally or even non-locally, and you have to put the child into a non-Jewish institution. The Beis Yitzchak says it depends. If they're going to give them tipul, i.e. look after them, and there's no justification for sending them to a non-Jewish institution, because they're going to look after them involving non-Jewish foods, macholas asuras, no Shabbos, no Yom Tov, no chinuch, no nothing. If, however, it's not tipul, but it's tipul refu'i, they're going to hopefully cure them, then you'd be allowed to do it. For sure you'd be allowed to do it. Why? Because by curing them, in inverted commas, they come back into a life of Torah and mitzvahs. A life of Torah and mitzvahs is chalel Shabbos achas, Kadeshi Yishmaru Shabbos as Harbit. You get the point. So you see here again where the principle of Rishon of Manasseh is an operative principle, because it will allow you, which Pikuach Nefesh wouldn't. The life of the child is not in danger here. The life, the child's life is not in danger. The child's welfare is in danger. The child's Jewish future is in danger. And that will allow you, the principle Rishon of Manasseh will allow you to overcome the fact that he's in, unfortunately, a non-Jewish institution, will allow you to overcome that, because there's at least a fighting chance, to go back to Sophic problems, there's at least a fighting chance that he'll be able to be cured and get back into normal life. Lastly, in item 8, which you don't have, the Chochmah Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger, in Orach Chaim, in Shin Kaf Ches, offers the following. As you know, a similar case. As you know, a blind person is chayv in mitzvah. Did you know there was a manda oma in halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, followed by Rabbeinu Yerucham in the Rishonim, that a summa is pot of the mitzvah? A summa is chayv in mitzvah, but Rabbi Yehuda holds a summa is potter in mitzvah. Now, what would be an operation which can restore the sight of a summa, a blind person? Will the operation be allowed on Shabbos? We're not giving him his life back. We're giving him his sight back. Okay? Now, Rav Unterman, in his tshuva on the subject, says you don't have to paskin like the Chachamim, like Chachamim, or like Rabbi Yehuda. It makes no difference, because being blind, he says, is a life-threatening situation. Being blind is life-threatening, is even of itself. Why? Because you may fall over, you can't cross the road properly, you can't function normally, it's inherently dangerous. Now, I'm not sure if that's contraindicated by our own intuition. Our own intuition is that blind people function fairly well. I would like to be in that position myself, but they function fairly well. They have guide dogs, they have help, they have this, that, and the other. Their life is not in imminent danger. Is that in halakha or is that in gabata? Okay, so Rav Unterman says we're allowed to use that principle to allow the operation to take place on Shabbos, whichever way you look at it. Why? Because he's in imminent danger of death, because he's blind. Okay? But that's not the position of the Chochmah Shlomo. The Chochmah Shlomo, is in Shin Kaf Ches, in Orach Chaim. Okay? A Shabbos, sorry? I haven't seen it inside. I've seen it referred to. Okay? But the Chochmah Shlomo, it says, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, consider the situation. Okay, it's a theoretical construction. Nevertheless, I think it's interesting. The theoretical construction is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a summa is potter in mitzvahs. By giving him the operation, what are you giving him? You're giving him a chiyuv in mitzvahs. Chaleil Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Harba. Why will the Shabbos operation on the blind person be allowed? Not because it's Pikuach Nefesh, because you're allowing him to enter a life of Torah and Mitzvahs. The operation will restore him his sight. If the operation restores him his sight, he'll get back into a situation where he can keep Shabbos for the next 119 years. It'd be a wonderful mitzvah to do. Yes? Chaleil Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yushmeru Shabbos is Harba. Just one moment of summary before we finish. We've seen that we have a number of operative positions which justify setting aside mitzvahs of the Torah. Pikuach Nefesh V'chai Bohem is the greatest. Whenever you're pushed against the wall and there's a danger to life, V'chai Bohem will be the operative principle. However, we've seen already this morning at least half a dozen other cases where Pikuach Nefesh is not the operative principle, and yet we need to set aside mitzvah of the Torah, the principle of Rishuma Benassia. Chaleil Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmeru Shabbos Es Harba is a very, very important and functional procedure in Halacha which will allow us to set aside values in order to pursue the greater value of a life in Torah Mitzvahs.